The fuck is up? Welcome to this week's edition of What Am I Missing with me, Andy, and...
And me, Ben McCormack.
What's up, Ben?
Full name.
Yeah, full name. Rocking the full name. My full name's Andy Kavanagh, but that's not really important. So what's up, Ben?
Not much. Just enjoying the wet weather. I've got a long weekend, so that's nice.
Oh, you bastard.
Is
it going to be wet all weekend?
I hope not.
Oh, yeah, that would be pretty shitty. Yeah. Okay.
Bigger news, though. You've just got back. The reason we're doing this quite late today is you just got back from Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah, Tokyo Game Show. Tokyo Game Show was cool.
You were there reporting for the arcade.ie?
Yes, the arcade.ie. And some content should be up soon if I don't, you know, sleep for the next 4 days. But yeah, it was cool. It was cool, man. I got to play Final Fantasy Dissidia, which is their brawler that they're pushing now. It's kind of trying to get it into esports. And I got to play Final Fantasy 14 for the first time, which was surprisingly really cool. Like, I don't like MMOs usually, but I think I could get into that one.
You're such a square...
I am, man. I am, absolutely. And I got to meet Shinji Hashimoto. That was really cool.
Yes, if anybody follows our Twitter, you would have been able to see a photo of Andy with... the said director of a producer of Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah, he produced loads of them. I highlighted 9 because that's the best one. But he actually produced loads of them. He produced 9 and I think 7 and 8 as well, and 10. And I'm pretty sure he also produced Kingdom Hearts. And he stepped on as the producer of 15. And I really think that's when the ship got righted. And they finally put it on course to actually release it, was when he stepped on. So he's a legend. Like, he's a really, really cool guy. I kind of got the impression, though, like, he was nice. Don't get me wrong. He was nice. And he signed the thing and took a photo with me and all this.
There was
another girl there. There was another girl there who also wanted to meet him and stuff. And she had, like Moogles and Chocobos hanging off her and stuff.
So she was, like, an actual fan and you're just some poser white person.
That's possible, yeah. Or what's also possible is the impression I got was that after spending time with her, he was asked to spend a little time with me. And he was kind of like, get these fucking otaku fuckers out of my face. Like, I just want to go home. But he was cool and it was great to meet him and just thank him, you know, for my childhood, essentially. So that was cool. And then also in other, you know, other TGS news, Sonic Forces is not shit. It's not shit at all.
The jury is going to be out until release, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well then let me rephrase. The 5 minutes that I had with it were not shit. They were not shit at all. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was cool.
Any other big news? Any surprising news?
Surprising news? Not really. I mean, we got some surprises the day before it started. Like, Square Enix are releasing a thing called Left Alive. And it's being... Well, the characters are designed by the guy who designed Metal Gear's characters. Mm-hmm. Like, the original Metal Gear.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. But no one knows exactly what it is yet. So that was announced just before Tokyo Game Show. At the same time, they announced that they were going to re-release Final Fantasy IX on PS4, which I have bought already, because, as I said earlier, it is the best one.
Such a fucking nerd.
Yeah. Hey, when it comes to 9, I will fucking take all the heat you can give, man. That game deserves nothing but love. Yeah, but it was just cool. Like, Tokyo Game Show was a really cool place. There was, like, the indie pavilion was really cool, too. Like, I met a few guys who were working on some really cool games. There's one studio called Cherry Mochi, I think they're called Cherry Mochi, they're working on a game called Tokyo Dark, and it's like this really interesting point-and-click adventure slash visual novel thing.
Okay.
And it's like based in Tokyo about a detective, and it's also got elements of like horror in it. Some of it was pretty scary, but it's kind of stylized in like anime style. It was really interesting. And they seemed like a really interesting team when I was talking to them. So, you know, hit them up on Twitter. Cherry Mochi, the game's called Tokyo Dark. It's going to be released, I think, at the end of the year.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. So there's a few good indie games as well knocking about. And it was cool.
This is your third year going to TGS, right?
Yes.
Is it actually quite big for indie games?
The indie area is not... The area itself is not very big, but it seems like there's an awful lot of games there.
Right.
Like, they really try and pack a lot in. Yeah. So, like, I played a few indie games on Thursday, and I'm just back, like you said, just back from today's press day, and we played a few more today, and there were a lot that we didn't get to.
Mm.
You know, so there's a lot there. They do make an effort to bring in indie creators from all over the world, too. Like, one of the studios I was speaking to yesterday came from Taiwan. A few more came from Korea. There was a... Last year, there was a really interesting studio from China there. She had made this game... This girl had made this game with her kind of colleagues in this little tiny studio. Basically, what would you say? Off their own dime.
Okay.
Like, they're not really a company. Self-funded. Yeah, it's kind of all self-funded. And she was saying that there's no console market in China. Like, it's just, at this time, anyway, there wasn't. There was, so it's like, even Android is really the only thing you can do.
Oh, wow.
And most people don't bother because the market, the only things that sell are things that have, like, IPs attached to them. And it's really easy to make, a One Piece game.
Yeah.
That's just a fucking pachinko simulator or whatever. But if it's got One Piece, it'll sell.
Wait. I mean, Andrew... we have that here in Japan. It's called the Final Fantasy 15 mobile game. I've seen it everywhere. It looks like trash.
Yeah, I haven't played that. It looks shit. I don't play it. Even Final Fantasy can't get me to mobile games. Even Final Fantasy can't get me on the mobile train. Tsum Tsum's fun. Tsum Tsum's fun as shit, okay? Don't diss Tsum Tsum, all right? Tsum Tsum's fucking awesome. But yeah, so it's a really cool event. The only problem is that the public day... which you'll be able to attest to in a few weeks' time because you'll be going there this weekend. The public day is...
Hell. Okay. I look forward to that.
Just...
I mean, in many ways, I'll be in my natural element.
Well, it's... Yeah, go early. That's my advice.
Yeah.
Go early. But it's a really cool... It's a really cool event, and it's really big, so, you know...
It's actually going to be my first ever kind of con or event like this.
So wow. Kind of,
yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, I'm probably going to hate it because, you know, going too late in life, it's just like nearly 30 and too embittered, so I don't have the nostalgic childhood memories of going to cons or anything. Like,
I guess, yeah. You got to come to it early, right? Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, let's get on topic, shall we? Because today's one is quite big.
This is the first actual debate we're going to have.
Yeah, right, about this topic, because we played it separately and we didn't have a chance to sit down and talk about it afterward. You played it quite a while after I did, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because you played the PS4 version.
Yeah, I've only played it recently.
Okay. So the game we're talking about today, as you've seen on the title, is The Last of Us, Naughty Dog's magnum opus, as far as I'm concerned. And the thing about this is, I played this when it first came out on PS3, and I'm convinced that that game is the reason my PS3 got a yellow light of doom. That thing pushed that machine to its absolute graphical limits. It just couldn't take it anymore. It shat itself and died. So, thank you, Last of Us, for making me get a new PS3, but whatever. So I played it when it was on PS3, and as everybody on Earth except Ben did... I fell absolutely head over heels in love with it and thought it was just phenomenal.
Why?
We'll get to that, won't we? So then you came to it on the PS4.
Yeah.
And, you know, after hearing me rave and rant about it.
Not just you, like the whole world fell in love. As you said, like the whole world fell in love with this game and it was like, we've reached the pinnacle of video games. Nothing will ever beat this. We've done it. We've achieved mastery.
Well, I guess in that regard, then I guess you have to. The question is, what pinnacle have you reached?
People are falling over themselves to praise that game on fucking every level.
It's very good on just about every level, though.
No, it's not, though.
Okay, so let's start then. Tell me where you think its weak points are.
Gameplay.
Okay, let's pause there. Elaborate. Why is the gameplay a weak point?
The gameplay is a weak point because it's clunky. It reminds me far too much of the Uncharted series, which was also terrible gameplay, and I did not like. The stealth mechanics, like, are really confusing. They don't really work when you on a consistent basis. Like it, and because there are no indicators of how stealthy you're trying to be, you can't actually stealth properly. It always devolves into this massive firefight. And with, basically shooting galleries of people popping their heads out of cover, so you have to quickly try and shoot them down again, or the weird zombies that are trying to rough you up. The
infected.
The pre-cauliflower ones.
They don't use the word zombies.
They're zombies.
Infected.
They're zombies, though.
Look, you're going to get pedantic. You're going to get pedantic. They're infected. Whatever. Okay, go on. Keep going.
But yeah, the gameplay in itself, like, does not link into the story. And I think that's, for all this like talk of like video game of like,
what do you mean by that? That's, I've understood everything you said so far. I kind of get, I don't get what you mean by that.
All right. Do you know the part like, I suppose we should do this now. Very spoiler heavy episode.
Cause we're going to go full depth
into this game.
Yeah.
You know the part where you're Ellie and you're hunting the rabbit and then the deer, and then you are teaming up with that guy.
Where she's on her own in the winter.
Yeah. There's a moment in that where you had to shoot out everybody who, all the infected that were coming at you, including a cauliflower. Now, the big thing, what's the big thing about Ellie? What's the important thing?
That she's immune.
That she's immune. What happens when you're attacked by a cauliflower as Joel? If you get bit?
I can't remember.
It's game over. Like, it's immediately game over.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What should happen if you're Ellie and you get bit by a cauliflower?
Nothing.
Exactly. But it turns into an immediate game over.
Well, just because she's immune to the virus doesn't mean she's immune to being eaten.
Well, she's not being ate, though. She's just being...
But yeah, she is. What the fuck do you think?
She's just like, getting someone a bite.
If someone came along and took a bite out of your neck, how long do you think you'd last?
Well, I mean, there's another guy there. I mean, probably quite a long time.
Ben, we're going to have a falling out. We're going to have a falling out, Ben.
What? Okay. Because the gameplay and the story don't interact. Like, also, like, I don't get why I'm fighting half of these gangs, except for that they are in the way. Like, that's like, there seems to be no role for them than just to throw enemies at you. Like, you could have interwoven that into the storyline.
They did a bit. If it wasn't sufficient enough for you, that's a different thing. But there was an explanation as to why they were there. If you don't think it was a good explanation, that's fine. But like, okay. they did do that.
And I just So gameplay in and yeah. As somebody who plays a lot of stealth games and likes them, it was annoying to have this substandard stealth in my supposed Oscar drama.
Well, okay, there's a few things that I kind of think that... I think you've made some good points there, but there is some other ones that I don't agree with. In terms of the combat and the gameplay... the gameplay and the story not being linked. I mean, yeah, I get what you mean. And you've got a point in terms of how many, I think they're called bandits, those human enemies. Yeah. In terms of how many bandits that they throw at you, it is kind of arbitrary. And I think that's a consequence of The Last of Us trying to perform this really spectacular balancing act between all these different playstyles and all these different kind of
And it doesn't ideas. Work.
Well, I think it does. I don't, nothing, no, none, none of the playstyles failed enough for me to dislike any one particular portion of it. And you know, I'm not saying that's objective fact. I'm just saying it's my taste. Like, I didn't feel like it did anything badly enough to make me go, oh, I wish it didn't do that. And for the most part, I felt like it did everything, or most things that it tried, it did well enough to carry over whatever it failed at. That's the way I felt about it. Now, the narrative and the gameplay, I mean, I don't really understand what you're getting at there, because most games it's a rare game that ties the gameplay and the narrative together.
You're absolutely right, but with it's such a strongly driven focus on
I'm not finished.
Let me finish. Made a bad point.
No, I didn't. I'm not finished talking about it. I'm just getting a disclaimer over that. It's a rare game that does that to the point where it's worth talking about. Most people, even me, who fucking loves video game narrative, I don't expect that to be the case, for those things to be inextricably linked together. It's cool if they are, and I'll notice it if it's done well, but I don't expect or require that necessarily. Having said that, I think The Last of Us does do it. And I think it does a pretty good job.
When?
For the whole thing.
What?
And this is where I think a lot of like, where we have interpreted the gameplay mechanics very, very differently. Whereas you say stealth is confusing and there's no markers and no indicators as to how stealthy you're being, right? I would say that is connecting the narrative to the gameplay.
Let me finish.
I'm not finished. Because
you've been going on for ages.
So I let you fucking rant, man. Now you're going to listen to my comebacks, all right? So yeah, that to me is connecting the story and the gameplay, because it creates tension. And I could compare it to, well, you can compare The Last of Us to a bunch of stuff, but I guess the most obvious and kind of superficial comparison would be something like Resident Evil, like where you're shooting and shooting from cover and hiding in the corners and shooting at zombies. And in Resident Evil, there's very rarely a sense of genuine tension. Very rarely. Because you know that whatever is around the corner or whatever's coming or whatever you can't see that you know is there, you have the weaponry required to deal with it. It doesn't really matter. You can just blow in as Tommy Testosterone Tits and take out the entire room and nothing matters, right? So it's very rarely actually genuinely scary. With The Last of Us, there were on more than one occasion I found myself in the corner surveying the room, thinking about how the fuck am I going to sneak through here? And how equipped am I to deal with my potential failure to do that? Like, if I don't succeed in sneaking through and they see me and they attack me, am I ready? Do I have enough bullets?
Have you played a video game before? Because it was... Like, but this... It gave you everything that you possibly need in the same way. Like, all you had to do is hunt around a little bit and you'd find everything that you needed.
Yeah, but man, moving at all, the AI was so good on those clickers. Like, moving at all triggered them. And that's when you were saying, like, that it always devolved into a firefight. Like,
well, no, I was thinking more when you're fighting bandits. Like, it always, past bandits, it always devolves into a firefight.
Yeah, because humans are fucking smart and they can hear you, they can see and hear you shit. Like, those clicker things, they can't see.
Yeah.
So they were going off whatever they could hear.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's to the point where you're saying the gameplay and the narrative aren't connected. Like, the clickers can only hear, right? They can't see. Mm-hmm. They can hear you loading your gun. They react to you loading your gun. That's like meta gameplay level shit. Like, that's like, you can't do anything when they're around, or else they'll know about it. So stealthing around
but you can walk around.
Yeah, but you have to be like really careful about it.
But like, yeah,
loading your gun near a clicker will alert them to you. So like this thing of like, you have to treat every encounter with those things really, really carefully. And that, to me, connected really well to how Joel was basically just a guy. Like, Chris Redfield is like a fucking army dude and he's carrying watermelons in his arms. You know what I mean? Like, he's got, like, muscles up his ass. But
Joel,
like,
wasn't just a guy, though, because he obviously, like, he clearly had, like, this supreme control over guns, all types of guns. He didn't pick up a shotgun and, like, accidentally blow off his own leg and stuff like that. like, you know, there's every single weapon he, like, I get what you're saying in, like, oh, it makes it feel really, really scary because you're all just an ordinary Joe and all the rest of it. But the point is, there are times when then they just divert again, like where gameplay and story just completely go the opposite direction and they don't intersect. Being able to just pick up and work any weapon is not realistic. Like, no matter how trained you are in arms.
Ben, come on, man. But it's also a fucking staple in just about every action game ever.
I'm not denying that. But if you're saying, like, oh, the stealth seems really realistic. Oh, but yeah, but the shooting, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, that's my problem. Like, it's really confused. It doesn't know what... Like, your whole thing of, like, oh, well, it attempts to try and keep these different game elements in like, and it does it kind of it does it very, very well. I disagree. I think it's a mess because it doesn't really understand what type of game it is, and without that focus, it's not as great as everybody says it is.
But hang on a minute. Now this is a thing that kind of bothers me a lot when I talk to you about this stuff. Do you not think it is the height of, like, the absolute height of arrogance to say that everybody is wrong except you. Like, is that not just so fucking ridiculous? Are you not willing to consider the possibility that you just didn't get it or missed something?
I mean, yeah, but I mean, it's highly unlikely. Like, I mean, I don't deny that, like, it's an arrogant opinion and stuff like that. Could well be wrong. And clearly, in the grand zeitgeist, I am wrong. Everybody loves this game.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm going to be right. Yeah. But, like, I still just don't see it as great as everybody else believes.
Well, okay, all right, okay. And that's why we're having this talk, I guess, right? So, like, are you sure? Now, don't get mad when I say this, because I'm not trying to be annoying when I say
this. Did I not get it?
No. Are you sure that you weren't just shit?
I mean, I'm not very good at video games, so it's entirely possible. There were times that it was incredibly frustrating. Like, the part where you have to try and you meet up with the black guy and his brother. You have to sneak past the spotlight bit. Fuck that moment. fuck that. Oh my god.
Okay, well, that's, I guess...
But that goes back to my point, because that's a point where it gives you, quote-unquote clear indications of sight lines of the enemies and all the rest of it, and then it just randomly changes its mind because it wants you to do an action-y bit rather than a stealthy bit. You're sneaking past, you've got the spotlight, so you're trying to keep past the spotlight, trying to keep out to the shadows, silently taking down people, and then you might just be walking in very, very dark area, and then suddenly they're like, they're there, get them, kill them!
That actually does bother me in games when a game purports to allow you handle situations how you want, and then randomly will decide, no, you can't do that here, you have to handle it this way. That does bother me. And yeah, it did have a few sequences where you kind of had to have a firefight, whether you liked it or not. And I guess to kind of use my point to touch on your point...
Mm-hmm.
To maybe try and find some common ground here.
I mean, it's okay. You can admit I was right.
No, but like, I'm trying to bridge that gap. I want to be the diplomat here. You're going to be the contrarian. I'm going to be the guy who tries to bring us together, right? So to use my point to kind of touch on your point, I think that it blended those ideas, all its disparate ideas, so well that it became difficult to notice when you could and couldn't do something. So you had these stealth sections and these action sequences that were like so seamlessly linked together that it felt like you could still be stealthy even though the game suddenly didn't want you to do that. And I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I'm saying that reflects, to me, it kind of reflects on how well it blended all those ideas together to the point where you couldn't tell when one ended and another one began. Now, I didn't really care about that, personally. I didn't find that very frustrating because it kind of felt to me like the game was just taking you from one sequence to another. Like, if I have a criticism for the gameplay and the story, it would be that most of it kind of feels like a sightseeing tour.
Yeah, like, that too.
It's not a very big issue for me because I really like narratives and I really like being... I have no problem with linear narrative. Like, none of that.
No.
You know what I mean? So it wasn't a problem for me, but it did kind of feel like... I know we criticize games too for taking you back places and making you backtrack and stuff, but I think maybe it would have been nice at some point in Last of Us to return to somewhere we've been before just to see that it was still there.
No, I think it would have had to have been extremely important narratively.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
To work. Yeah. There's absolutely no point.
But it did
going back to a place you've already been.
Yeah.
Story.
I suppose so. I suppose you're right. I just feel like the world could have done with feeling less like a tour and more like a world.
Okay.
You know that, but again, my job here today isn't to rag on the game.
Would you have had an issue if you'd had a driving segment where you'd had to drive between the different cities? Because obviously it's set in different areas of the United States. As you're trying to make your way to Colorado, is it? Or
Utah.
Utah.
I think initially it's Boston, but then I think when they get to Boston,
they're told to go to Utah.
No, that would have been fine, I guess, right? Like, I mean, yeah, that would have been fun, I guess. I mean, the thing is, it's difficult to criticize. I think it's difficult to criticize that, because my problem with a lot of criticism, particularly game criticism, is that it comes from a point of negativity. It comes from a position of, this game that I'm looking at is not this game.
Right.
And I don't think that's a good thing to criticize. I think criticism works better when you take the game for what it is and you talk about what it does and what it doesn't do. But as opposed to saying, like, for me to say, I would have preferred it if it did this.
But this is the problem when it comes to The Last of Us. And this goes back to what I'm saying. Because it can't decide what type of game it is, whether it is just a walking tour, whether it is a stealthy game, whether it is a zombie survival game, whether it is an action game in the Uncharted mode. Because it can't decide that, what are you supposed to, like, what merits are you supposed to judge it on?
How well it does all those things.
But because it's doing them at a substandard to all the like some of the other exemplars of those fields.
That's your opinion, man. That's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah, and my opinion can also be right.
Yeah, but it's, in this case, it's probably not, considering you're the only person in the world
I'm
who
not
thinks
the only
that.
Person who thinks this. But
who else has said that?
I mean, you know, Reddit users.
Reddit users.
I mean, I don't know any of them Reddit personally, users. But I can't be the only person in the world who has these opinions about The Last
of Us. No, you're probably not. That's fair. You're probably not. But we just experienced it very, very differently. And that's what it comes down to. Because the things that bothered you did not bother me. And even when you're explaining why they bothered you, it just feels like... It's like someone saying they don't like chocolate cake. You're like, why not? It's like, oh, it's just so sweet. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, it's sweet. I like that.
So you kind of want this mishmash of different game styles and...
Well, look, I don't think... First of all, the public doesn't know what it wants until it sees what you have to offer, right?
Yeah.
So this whole thing of the fact... You know, just because no one ever said they wanted that doesn't mean it wasn't a good idea. And when I played it, yeah, it worked for me, man. It worked for me. And I think... I guess we'll go into this topic now, because it's probably where we're headed. I think the main reason it worked for me, like the thing that helps all those disparate elements come together, in my opinion, is the narrative, the story. And I think that what held my attention and what held my focus. And maybe you're right. Maybe those things didn't work as well as I remember them working. But if that's true, then I would imagine the reason for that is that I was so invested in what was going on narratively and so eager to see the story play out that really all the gameplay just became a method to do that. It just became a means to an end, essentially, that it was just this thing I was doing in order to see what happened next in the story, which is kind of what a lot of... especially JRPGs, that's basically what that is.
Yeah.
The story is the main thing, and then the gameplay just kind of is the thing that gets you there, essentially.
But then this is one of the things. Are you then playing a video game?
Well, yeah, because you're playing it.
But is that it? Like, you have to go through the slog of, like, unnecessary gameplay in order to get to the next bit of story?
Well, if you're reading a book, you got to go through whatever shitty chapters that you have to read before you get to the good stuff. Like, I mean, narrative, you know, it's not always going to set your world on fire.
But sometimes it's completely divorced from the narrative, as we said. Like, I mean, a lot of the time when you're shooting out those bandits and all the rest of it, add nothing to the gameplay. Or add nothing to the story. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I don't totally agree, but I'll give you that point, because I know what you mean. Yeah. And I guess you could argue then that they were included to make it more palatable, right? Because, like, there's always been a slight concern that if, you know, art house games don't appeal to the guys who play Call of Duty.
But this is my point. Like, so, like, it's as Yahtzee, I think, described it best. When he did the review of The Last of Us, he's like, they've basically made Oscar bait for video games. And it's basically the summation of my some of what I think about the story, like, as well. And having that is problematic. like if you've got this, as far as I can see it, mediocre or at least not thrilling gameplay.
Not thrilling? What the fuck game did you play?
I mean,
what the fuck, man? Not thrilling?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Please.
Oh my god, my heart was in my mouth the entire time. Like,
really?
Fuck. Yeah, fuck, man. No. I was like shaken.
I never had this situation where I was like super tense, like keen to, like, oh my god, I can't make a wrong move and all the rest of it. Like,
wow, I'm surprised by that. That's surprising, because that was like my entire experience was like that, to the point where the moment, the really nice moment with the giraffes, mm-hmm. like that was so poignant, and that there's nothing inherently in that moment that makes it very beautiful. Mm-hmm. But I think the reason that so many people felt it was really beautiful and it kind of clicked with people was because of it was a sudden breath. It was like everything is so tense and so fucking scary. And then suddenly you're like,
I get that that's what it's supposed to be. But it just didn't feel like that for me. I felt that in most of the beginnings of most of the levels. I felt that when you're heading quite early on. I think you're in one of the Massachusetts cities. Is it like, and you're heading towards the crazy guy who set up the traps everywhere.
Mm.
And you got a beautiful view of the entire town and all the rest of it. That was much more of a relaxing moment. And you're having just a quiet word with Ellie.
Mm.
That was much more of a deep breath than the giraffes, which felt forced.
I don't think it was forced. I agree. I don't think so. I didn't feel forced at all. I think I know what you're saying. It wasn't the only moment of that felt like that. And to be fair, as far as I know, the creator's intent with that scene was not to do that. I think the message that he wanted to get across there was that life goes on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that even though
We're
seeing this disaster and everything's falling apart, nature will just roll on without us.
I get that. Like, you know, the whole, like, nature is terrifying, yet nature is beautiful type thing, the dialectic that's going on there, is that's fine. And that's a very important thing going on in the game. But I certainly do not feel that is happening with the narrative, the soul narrative, and the characters. I don't think that theme, that dialectic, is happening with them. And while Joel, and particularly Ellie, and particularly in the DLC, that friggin' episode, that is better than the rest of the entire game.
Left Alive is actually really, really good.
Left Behind is by far...
Left Behind, sorry, yeah.
It is far better than the rest of the game. And okay. I think it's because it's shorter, it's more tight, and it's focused far more on a more interesting and sympathetic character.
You don't think Joel is sympathetic?
I think he is sympathetic. I don't think he is as sympathetic as the game developers intended.
Why not?
He comes across as just an asshole most of the time. Like,
but isn't that kind of the point? That he's been hardened. He's been turned that way. Because in the beginning, we see that prologue, and he's not like that at all.
Oh, what, you mean the kid with the, I'm definitely going to survive the prologue. I'm sorry, I don't know why I should feel sympathy for forced fucking tragic events. Like,
but no,
he's been hardened by these events.
Hang on a minute. I don't think
he has been hardened. I think it's I think he's just doing what it is to survive and all the rest of it. And I don't think that him being a hardened, quote unquote, is what makes him an asshole. I think what makes him an asshole is just that he becomes so obsessed with saving him and Ellie.
This is where I just completely break down in communication with you, because when you say that, I go, of course he is. What are you talking about? Why is that a criticism?
Because that's There's fucking like, there's less than 100,000 people still left alive, and you're killing most of them.
you're not giving the narrative a chance. You're not giving it a fighting chance at all. You're dismissing it offhand. Because over the course of that story,
mm-hmm.
he becomes close to Ellie.
Yeah?
Yeah? So, of course he wants to protect her.
Why does he become close to Ellie?
I don't know, because they're around each other constantly. Like, what, you know, why do people become close? That's a fucking weird thing to ask. Like, no, I mean, he becomes close to her because he's been entrusted to protect her.
Yeah.
And, well, he's entrusted to deliver her.
Yeah.
And then, I know what you want me to say, and it is true what you want me to say, but you've got something that you want to pull out of your ass to kind of dismiss it.
What do I want to say?
He becomes protective of Ellie. Because he feels guilty about allowing or not being able to protect his daughter.
Is that... That's not great character growth.
Why not?
Because it's just, you're just replacing one character in the other.
No. That would be the case if it happened instantaneously. This is a long portion of the game after Ellie's introduced where Joel does not really want nothing to do with her. And when he realizes that she's infected, what are you shaking your head for? This is true. Look at the look at the actual words in the script. This isn't fucking debatable.
Yeah.
Right? When she is revealed to be infected, he wants out immediately. He's like, "No, we're not doing this. We're not doing it. I'm not doing this with you." And she kind of begs him, and eventually that wins out, and he's like, fine, I'll bring you here, but that's it. You know, so there's no instant replacement of his daughter.
That's not what this is.
So you're not giving it a chance. You're not giving it a chance as far as I'm concerned. That's a really unfair criticism to make. I really believe it is. And because it ignores everything that happens between Ellie being introduced and Joel and Ellie kind of... It's never, you know, it's so fluid and nebulous. There's no actual point that you can point to and go, oh, that's the moment they became close. Because it's just so kind of, go then. What?
It's the moment where she said, she's standing with the rifle saying, Joel, I've got this. That's it. That's the turning moment.
That's such a fucking ridiculous thing to say.
That is absolutely the moment.
Because that moment wouldn't have any gravitas if it hadn't been earned up to that point.
The turning point.
No, it's not, man.
It's absolutely the turning point.
Like, Ben, that is like such a robotic, fucking simplistic interpretation of that story. That is a moment that is the crux of so many other moments leading up to it. It is not as simple as she flips a switch there that makes him fucking be sympathetic to her. You can't argue that. That's a ridiculous thing to say.
I'm not saying that it's an instantaneous flip of the switch, but it is the moment where he goes from being wary of her to trusting her.
Well, ostensibly, in terms of us, the viewer, that is a very...
Us, the viewer, us, the player, us, the person that's supposed to be in control of Joel.
That is a very, it's a very clear indicator that says, she can be trusted, right? But that doesn't mean that he cares about her. I mean, you're equating very, very different things in an attempt to make a point that I think you can't make now.
What?
Like, that, because you can't just toss an entire chunk of the story and then say that the bit that it leads up to makes no sense. That you can't do that. It's completely unfair.
No, I don't see how. Like, it's...
You don't see how it's unfair?
Yeah.
To remove a chunk of story, ignore it, and then criticize the development
No. But your point, as far as I understood it, was, there is no concrete turning point where we are like, where Joel suddenly has feelings for her, or suddenly understands her, and is more sympathetic. Yeah, it happens
gradually.
No, there are moments leading up to it, but there is one significant moment that is like, okay, right, now he trusts her.
Well, trust is a very different thing to what we're talking about.
It's part of it, isn't it?
It's part of it, but it's not the only thing, which is why I think that's a really unfair thing to latch on to. Because that is the moment where he realizes that she can be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That is. But that's not what our topic was. Our topic was, when did she become a surrogate for his daughter, or a replacement for his daughter? Right? And that happens over the course of the entire game, and there's no moment when you can point to when it actually happens. It's just a gradual step-by-step process that is done, as far as I'm concerned, really, really well. To the point where the changes in that relationship feel so genuine.
And so that this surrogate daughter is now worthy has more worth than anybody else?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And this is where, this for me, is the ultimate narrative triumph of The Last of Us, is that did, you know, maybe he was an asshole. Maybe he was. Maybe in protecting Ellie, he and fucking the rest of the world.
But it's not about protecting Ellie.
It is.
No, it isn't. It's about protecting himself.
From the pain of losing her.
Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. Beautiful interpretation.
Yeah.
The fact that we can have this discussion is what brings The Last of Us to the level that people appreciate.
I can have that about The Walking Dead.
Okay, have it then. That's great.
I can have that about fucking Mass Effect, as we talked about last time, or Final Fantasy, or like, that's... But that doesn't elevate The Last of Us.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. Because nothing is clear cut. There's no answers.
That's bullshit.
No, it's not bullshit, man. That's beautiful.
No. You're saying that they're like, it's not clear cut, and that's what makes it a step above.
Mm.
But there are already games up on this step, which it's then trying to like.
I disagree.
Reach. That you're seriously saying that, like, for example, The Walking Dead Season 1 is not as good a narrative as this one.
I haven't played The Walking Dead. I've played parts of it. I mean, it is fantastic. I'm not saying I'm not going to talk about The Walking Dead because I've never played it. Right? But The Last of Us narrative blew so many people away and works so well because the characters are complex and because the characters don't have simple, relatable motivations that everyone will understand and agree with. That's the whole point. So when you come to me and say, Joel is an asshole, and I say, why? And you go, well...
He's also a mass murderer. Like, I mean,
yeah, okay, sure. Take that and run with it. Like, that's a really fair thing to comment on. Like, he's also
what the hell is his relationship in New York to the rest of the government authorities? In the very beginning of the game, who is he?
I don't remember what we're talking about.
Like the very very beginning of the game.
Yeah,
there is Joel
uh-huh.
and Tess.
Oh, you mean after the prologue?
Yeah.
He's a smuggler, isn't he?
Smuggling what?
Whatever needs to be smuggled, like a mercenary.
So he works with bandits and then he goes and shoots them?
I don't think he works with bandits. The bandits don't come into it until really later. Like, he's working in the Boston area. The bandits don't come into it until, like, after you've travelled quite a long way.
Alright, So he's a smuggler against an unknown authority, and I think you can argue that they are complex and the rest of it, but I think that complexity has been done far better in other games. And you can argue that the story, challenges, like what's right and wrong and all the rest of it, I think it's also been done far better in other games. For example, The Walking Dead. For example, To the Moon. For example, even Gone Home in its linking of story and gameplay does it better. That, like, as much as like it is also a walking simulator, you're just wandering around a house. It does it better than The Last of Us, and like you're talking about like, oh, it's unfair to compare games to other things. Like, the one thing that The Last of Us constantly gets praised for, constantly by anyone, is its story.
Mm. Just because other games have good stories doesn't mean that's not good.
Yeah, I'm not denying that the story is good. I just don't think it deserves to be put on this pedestal. And it absolutely... if you do go and play other games, like, or any of the games that I have said, mentioned, you will find that these stories are way more complicated, darker, more egregious sometimes in their dickheadedness of their main characters... Than The Last of Us.
Yeah, okay. I haven't played those games, so I'm not going to argue with you about this. So I have to take your word at that, because I haven't played those games. I mean, just because a game has... Like, Last of Us isn't my favorite video game story ever. You know what I mean? It's just not.
But,
so, like, I think...
But then why do people put this narrative up so high?
Because it's very, very good.
It's good.
And it's very, very... And the fact that we're having this discussion is proof that it's very, very good.
What, me saying that other ones are better?
You saying that Joel's motivations make him unsympathetic and make him an asshole, and me going, yeah, you're right. And yet I feel differently about him than you do. That's an example of really, really good characterization as far as I'm concerned, when you've got these two people who have interpreted the same actions by the same individual very, very differently. They agree objectively on... on whether they're good or bad actions, and yet we feel very differently about the characters after.
So wait, that's pretty fucking cool. Like, but you can't say that the interpretations are that therefore that because you can get a game of different interpretations or a story with different interpretations of motivations, you can't then declare that this is a raging success. Because
sure you can.
Well, then anything is a, like, particularly according to you, you're both structuralists. You believe that anything like has an interpretation, so everything is therefore a success.
Like, yeah, it certainly can be.
Life is meaningless.
Well, pretty much, right? Like, pretty much. You know? No, look. I mean,
I don't get it. Like, Ellie is a sympathetic character, or if you know what would have been great for The Last of Us is if. Instead of the daughter being shot at the beginning of the game, Joel had been shot after we'd been playing for a little bit, and you play as the little girl. Seeing her go from innocence to hardness back to possible innocence in the face of this sister.
But that's what you saw in Joel.
No.
That's exactly what you saw in Joel.
It's
what
not.
You saw in Joel was this was a guy who was forced into this life of this fucking
you saw
miserable
a
life.
Self-centered asshole go from to being a self-centered asshole to being a self-centered asshole.
Now, like you said, I'm post-structuralist, so you can interpret whatever you want, but explain to me how in the prologue he's a selfish asshole.
I mean, yeah, we barely see any of it. I'm not gonna
right.
But he does also like sacrifice everything for himself. Like he just doesn't give a shit about anybody except for him and his family.
Yeah.
That's problematic.
And that's what fucking 99.999% of people would do in that situation, including you.
No, not
yeah,
necessarily.
If you had
me.
A daughter and there was a zombie apocalypse, you'd take your daughter and fucking run.
Ah,
that's
do. I'm not talking about the running. I'm talking about him and his brother, they trap people, they kill other people, like, or they sacrifice other people. The brother kills a fucking soldier.
Yeah, so it's fucked up. So it's fucked up.
Yeah. He's still an asshole.
And I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, Joel doesn't react very well to that. Like, it's not like he was supportive of that.
No,
I feel like you've got a chip on your shoulder about this game, and you're using every fucking thing you can possibly find to try and unravel my opinion of it.
I do have a chip on my shoulder about the...
Yeah, but you got to be careful when you come at shit with chips on your shoulder, because you're not going to come to stuff with coherent arguments.
I'm coming at... Like, Joel is an asshole. All right.
He's not, though.
He absolutely fucking is.
Not when we first meet him. And your whole thing about... The whole thing you just said about how you would prefer it if it was a story of his daughter going from innocence to hardness back to innocence again is exactly his arc.
No, it's not, though.
Yes, it is.
No, that ending proves he's a dick. Like,
potentially,
he's...
Potentially, yes.
No, absolutely yes. He's a libertarian asshole. Like, he's a libertarian asshole who doesn't...
Why are you bringing politics into this? Don't bring politics into this.
There's always politics. Every culture... everything to do with culture has politics. You can't escape that. But he is absolutely... so self-centered, because he sees the firefly woman is begging him, please just let it happen, we have to do this, not for you, not for her, for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
She is being so fucking reasonable, and what do you have to do? Kill her. Kill everyone. Kill the scientist.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because Ellie is so important to me. Not to Ellie.
Mm.
Not like shit. Her feelings don't give a fuck.
Yep.
He's a selfish asshole. He's an asshole, and that needs to be recognized.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not arguing with you on that. We've already agreed about that. We've already agreed about that. But that doesn't reflect negatively on the game to me. That reflects positively on the game. That your protagonist is twisted. Like it's like a
twist.
But
he's not twisted though. It's absolutely not.
Yeah, it is, because he goes from you meet him after the prologue.
Where he's an asshole.
Yeah, he's an asshole because he's become an asshole because of the shit that he's been through.
There's nothing. What shit? He's living
behind
the
fence. His daughter fucking died, and he's living in a fucking shack, and he's struggling to survive. What the fuck are you talking about? You're omitting details to suit your own chip on your shoulder, man.
His daughter died. Yeah.
Yeah.
He lost
everything.
So did everybody.
Yeah. So everyone's an asshole.
No, they're not.
Yes,
though.
Yes, they are. Did you walk around the town? The police are dickheads. Everyone's an asshole.
Police are dickheads. The Fireflies are trying to do
Fireflies
the best thing.
Are also dubious.
Why?
Because they're fucking violent as fuck.
So?
So, that's fucking fucked up.
Wait, so all violence is inherently wrong?
Well...
I mean, that's another story.
Yeah.
But, Joel is just obsessed with himself. And throughout the entire game...
Well, I disagree with that. I agree he's obsessed with himself, but I...
Or his own happiness. and his own self-interest.
Yeah, okay.
Which becomes expanded in his little bubble to include Ellie.
Yeah, okay, I'd agree with that.
That's not a good character.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It's a complex character. It's a complex character that requires you... It's not as simple as good and bad.
It fucking is when you're a selfish asshole.
No, it's not, man. It's not as simple as good and bad. Now, and what this feels like it's getting at, then, is that you didn't either... That you... Your interpretation of those events, what you... was very much in favor of the Fireflies.
Not entirely.
That you agreed with what they were doing. And that you wanted to see that succeed.
To a limit, yeah.
Right, so they...
But, I mean, we got fuck all information about it, so...
They wanted to make a vaccine based on the fact that Ellie was immune. Yes. And to do that, they had to remove the infected part of her brain,
yes,
which would kill her.
Which Ellie wanted to
do. Yeah, which she wanted to do, exactly.
So, oh my god. So he, without Ellie's consent...
Mm-hmm.
Removed her from that operation.
Yeah.
Removed her from this thing.
Yes.
Took away all agency.
And then lied to her about it.
And yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
So you had this strong female character, but no, let's just rip away all the agency. Nah, she's still a good character.
Don't fucking make this a fucking gender issue, man. That's not what this is. No. What this is you're on the ball. You're absolutely on the ball.
And Joel, I just don't know why, but
Joel's motivations were selfish in that he...
Why should I have sympathy for that?
Well, you don't have to. That's the point. That's exactly my point. You don't have to have sympathy for it. I think you should should have sympathy for him initially when he loses his daughter and his family and his house. Okay. And, you know, I think you should have sympathy for him initially.
And I have sympathy for everybody else there as well.
Yeah, but we're not in everyone else's shoes. We're not watching everyone else. We're watching Joel.
So we have to watch him do these selfish actions, and a lot of the time we have to do them ourselves.
But hang on a minute. What's between that and stopping the operation? What selfish actions does he do? Because they're at the whole. He doesn't. He delivers Ellie at her request. She begs him to do it.
Why?
Why indeed?
What's his motivation?
Well, what exactly? What is his motivation?
It's money. And safety.
He's not getting paid.
He is still going to get paid by the Firefly.
No. The first attempt falls through, and then she begs him to bring her.
Yeah, on the promise of more money. Like, that's his...
Is that what happens?
That's his whole motivation, yeah.
Right, okay,
Or at least reward. And the idea that she is going to save everyone and the rest of it.
Well, okay, then. Like, okay. I remember it slightly differently, but fine. Let's go with that, that's probably right. So his motivation is money, right? And then over the course of the tour that they go on, he becomes very close to Ellie.
Yeah.
Right? And they foster this relationship, and she becomes very close to him. Right? And like we talked about earlier, it becomes very much about, you know, their relationship and Ellie replacing his daughter, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said earlier, I'm not going to argue with you that that's a fucked up way for him to view the relationship. I'm not going to argue with you that he... removed all her agency, as you say, because she wanted to sacrifice herself for all that stuff. But to say that he is, I think it's unfair, not incorrect, but unfair to say that he is an asshole throughout the entire game. I don't think that's true. I think to come to that conclusion, I think you have to ignore a lot of what goes on.
How friendly is he with his brother?
With his brother?
Yeah.
The guy who they
meet at the dam.
God, I don't remember.
Didn't
you say earlier on that his brother shoots a soldier in the beginning of the game?
The brother is trying to do is setting up a community and helping people.
Yeah, so, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't get on well with Joel, did he?
No, because you've seen his brother's a fucking weirdo, man. He killed someone at the start of the game. Yeah. Like, I mean, Joel doesn't want that. He almost leaves Ellie there, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But then he decides against it.
No. The only reason he decides against it is because he wants to leave Ellie there to so that she's going to get picked up by the Fireflies from there, because the brother had contacts in the Firefly or was a Firefly at one point. He then moves. The dam is then attacked, so he's like, oh well, this shit ain't safe. Let's get the fuck out of here, and and then they move on. Because again, it's not safe for me and my surrogate daughter. Like, this is, like, you're saying oh, you're just clutching at straws for all
this. I think
this.
You are.
It's entirely in his character.
No, I don't think so.
Why?
I mean, I completely agree with you that I believe his motivation for doing everything after the kind of money thing, by the time he gets to that plantation with his brother, they've become quite close. He cares about Ellie by that point. And I think that the reason he runs away with her is to protect her, not himself. Now, where I agree with you is that I think that is a selfish act, to sacrifice what his brother had been doing and all that shit and not stay and help them and just escape with Ellie because he cares about Ellie more than he cares about anything else. That is a selfish act. So you could certainly look at that in a selfish way. Or you could look at it from the point of view of a parent or a former parent and think, my number one priority is my fucking child. Because that's what most parents would think. It doesn't matter what else goes on. I have to protect my child. And, like, ask 10 parents, 9 out of 10 of them,
yeah,
and one sociopath, will say that they would protect
their child. I
volunteer
for sociopath.
Above everything else.
You can't... They're in a fucking guarded area. like, she is protected in that place.
But you just said it was attacked.
Yeah, it's attacked once. When they get the power back on, suddenly the electric fences are working and all the rest of it. They're attacked once, and he's like, no, no, no. Okay. It's like an obsessed parent. And...
It's a nice interpretation.
So now he's an obsessed parent. this is... No, nothing you've said has ever made me any more sympathetic towards Joel. And the reason why I say that, I think this is important is because we have, the entire time, we are pushed through Joel's psyche, except for the one moment in Winter. We have to dictate the actions of Joel. Now, there are markers and all the rest of it, and we have to go and do a certain thing, for the game to continue. But the ending point is that if you're not at least somewhat invested in this person, particularly in a quote-unquote narratively driven game, or, well, no, not quote-unquote, it is very much narratively driven, you can't... Well, you have to feel something more than, I don't really care what happens to this guy. And that was my problem. In the end, it became ambivalence. I didn't care. I cared about Ellie. I did not care about Joel.
So you cared about Ellie, but you didn't care about him caring enough to protect her. Like, his efforts to protect her didn't register with you at all.
And they registered with me, again, as an act of selfishness. Like, it's him... By him protecting her, he is protecting himself.
Despite the fact that had he not protected her on so many occasions throughout the game, she'd be dead.
Yeah.
So her death is fine, as long as Joel isn't selfish.
No, her death is not fine. What?
So you're criticizing Joel for protecting her, and yet you're acknowledging that her death would have been, what?
Yeah.
A tragic event.
Yes.
And a failure of the narrative? If the narrative decided to go, Ellie gets eaten by zombies, the end.
It fucking did when I was playing her in the Winter section.
No, but if you care so much about Ellie, I don't understand how you can be so dismissive of Joel's affections for her.
Because I don't think that they are... Like, you keep on pushing this whole idea, like, this whole thing that they are parental. And I think in the end, they're not.
I don't understand how you can possibly come to the conclusion that they're not. Even the fact that he saves her against her will, the fact that he takes her out of that operating table and removes her agency is what you just said, an act of obsessive parenting, essentially.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're my child. I'm not going to let you do that. You know? And that's fucked up. That's really fucked up. And that's why a lot of people interpreted that ending really, really differently. Like, I know some people who felt that Joel was totally right in what he did, because had he not done what he did, Ellie would have died.
Yeah.
And there was a chance that that vaccine wasn't going to work anyway. And they feel like if Ellie knew the truth, that she would just completely freak out. And that the relationship that had fostered between Joel and Ellie was so beneficial for both of them that it was better if they were together, right? And I don't agree with that personally. I think Joel totally fucked up in the end, more so by not coming clean. Like, even more so there. Like, I am very empathetic to his position when the decision was being made to save her or not save her. And in that moment, I didn't know what I was supposed to do. When you're outside the operating room and you have control of Joel.
Yeah.
For a few seconds, I legitimately thought they were leaving it up to me. I was like, oh, God. And when I had that thought, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I was totally torn. I was like, if I save her, then, oh, fuck, what do I do? And I realized then that I hadn't actually got that choice, that I had to actually go and save her. But anyway.
It's like the Metal Gear Solid 3, where you have to shoot the boss. Have you played it?
No.
Like 3? All right, so you fight the boss at the end of the game, and she's lying in this thing of white flowers. You have to pull the trigger at the end of this cutscene in order to move on the story.
Okay.
It's on you. And the game designers make it all on you. But the point is, for me, by the time I got there, I was ambivalent. I didn't care about Joel doing it.
Well, okay.
I still think he's an asshole for doing it. I think he, like, but it was within his character for me. If you get what I mean.
Yeah, I would agree with it being within his character, but for different reasons. I would say it was within his character because of the fact that he came to love Ellie as a daughter. That's why it's in his character, as far as I'm concerned. Not that it's in his character because he's selfish. It is a selfish act, but I would say that his motivations for doing that make perfect sense in terms of his character. But the point I was making was that some people believe he did the right thing. I personally feel like his biggest failure as a person was that he didn't tell her the truth, because she outright asked him. And at that point, I feel like it becomes unquestionable what his motivations are. So you could kind of go, I kind of buy into the argument that he saved her out of parental love or parental care, or whatever you want to call it, that he cares about her as a father figure. I kind of buy that. But if that's the case, and she asks you outright, did you fuck shit up? Is this your fault? Right? If that's the case, you tell her the truth. You come clean. And you accept whatever happens. So the fact that he told the lie and didn't come clean at the end, to me, ties in with what you're saying. That kind of makes his motivations for the initial save, for saving her, pretty selfish. That he has come to appreciate their connection and their relationship, and he cares about that more than he cares about anything else. Now, it is selfish, but at the same time, is it not universally understandable that we all live in our own little bubbles where our lives and our immediate surroundings are kind of more important to us to an extent than other things?
Not like in that situation.
Everybody is aware, for example, everybody is aware that there are starving people in the world, right?
Yeah.
Most people are not going to directly do anything to help that.
Are we, right? Are we under an extinction level event?
Well, kind of.
I mean, but kind of is not The Last of Us, is it?
No,
they
not.
Are
no,
legitimately no. Under an extinction level event.
Yeah.
Are you not going to try and do your best to help as many people as possible in that situation?
Yeah, of course. That would be the ideal.
No, that's not even the ideal. This is like you're saying that, oh, we just like we want to protect our bubble and our contacts and our, like,
in general, yeah.
In general, yeah. I don't, in that situation where you've got like 10,000 people as the survivors of New York, maybe 5,000 as the survivors of Boston and all the rest of it. And these are barely manageable to maintain a species, barely functioning society. At that point, you kind of have to give up some of your individualism and your
I understand what you're getting at. And
society does not bow to your own ideology on this one.
Well, it kind of did.
It did, and he fucked us.
Yeah.
Joel killed the human race.
Well, there's a sequel coming, so maybe. But we'll see.
Well, except for Ellie. Ellie gets to sit and play guitar.
Right. Yeah. Well, okay. Let me come back at you then with this. Is it not an interesting character arc for him to lose everything and be put into a position where he has to just struggle to stay alive, and he has to smuggle shit and do, you know, whatever he has to do to stay alive, and he has nothing, to then having something, to having Ellie, to feeling like he has the potential to get some kind of family back, that he has her and she has him, and he can protect her and she can protect him.
No.
And then wait, let me finish. And that they can be mutually beneficial to each other, right? And then that bubble that we're talking about is so much more important because of how painful it was to lose it before. And so that creates in Joel like this blindness to the greater good.
He had his opportunities. Like, I mean, we're told this from his brother. He had the opportunity to go with him to try and either join the Fireflies or join the New Society or do something. And, like, the New Society, his brother managed to find a wife and move on. Like, you'll never fully move on from the loss of your child, but you might be able to learn to cope and live for someone else instead.
Yeah, but you said yourself, that his brother was a volatile guy.
Yeah, and Joel has become everything he hated in apparently his brother.
Joel wasn't, you know, when we first meet Joel, he wasn't going around killing people.
No, but he is by the time we do, like,
don't underestimate the fucking self-loathing that can bring into you. I mean, like, you know, here's the thing. We're having a pretty intense discussion right now, and it's all in narrative.
Yeah.
The entire discussion is in narrative about this specific character. And this is what the crux of what I was saying earlier goes back to, is that I think that this is going to sound patronizing. I don't mean it as patronizing, so I apologize. But I feel like you are confusing, like, diegetic criticism of the characters with criticism of your opinion on the characters. And so instead of saying my argument is Joel is a well-written character because his motivations are complex and not necessarily understandable. And that makes him a well-written character. And your argument is it makes him a bad character.
My arguments are like that mostly it's designed in an attempt to try and make it look a lot more complex than it actually is.
How is it not complex? We just spent the last 10 minutes talking about one specific thing. How is that not complex?
Because it comes down to the same in the end. Like his entire motivation from the diegesis, if you will, like of the game, is that for me, he's an absolute he's an obsessed, selfish asshole from Act One onwards, and I don't know why I should feel sympathetic for him. And that's problematic for me.
Not have a character who you don't feel sympathetic for? Can you not have a character that you're unsympathetic with?
No. But there's a difference between not being sympathetic and ambivalence. And particularly for a main character. If you get to the point where you have ambivalence for that character, that is problematic.
Like, yeah, okay. And again, I'm wary of how much... I'm wary about going into the whole very few people felt that way thing.
That's fine.
You know what I mean? Because that's... the one thing I definitely was never in The Last of Us is ambivalent, personally. Like, I mean, I have... You know, there were certain things that... But the ending made me really angry. You know what I mean? The ending made me really angry. But I took that as a success of the game's narrative, that it wasn't just a cookie cutter clean good guys win ending, that it made me feel something, it made me emotional, it made me react.
Okay.
Whereas most video game endings I feel like just are a race to a conclusion that will wrap everything up nicely, that doesn't really do anything. Not all, but most. And The Last of Us definitely was not that. It felt like that was the inevitable is the wrong word.
The right conclusion?
The right conclusion because it was the wrong conclusion, if that makes sense.
Yep.
You know, Joel didn't do the right thing in the end.
The right result for the wrong actions.
Yeah, yeah, I guess. But even that, is it the right result? Because, like, you know, like you said, human beings are fucked now.
Like, so, I mean, the right result is in your anger for the wrong, like, actions, i.e. Joel's. Like, okay, so we've been talking about this. We're never going to get anywhere close. The thing is, do you think that this will be wrapped up in any way as to what's happened to Joel and Ellie in Last of Us 2?
I think Last of Us 2 is a fucking horrible idea.
I agree.
I think it's an awful idea. I don't want it.
As a caveat to all I've said, I didn't hate the game. I don't hate the game at all. I like the game. I just don't think it's as good as everybody says it is. And that's... that is probably controversial enough for some people.
Well, I can understand that frustration when you just don't understand why something... Like, I will never, as long as I live, I will never understand the mass popularity of GTA games.
Yeah.
Like, just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're fun for, like, an hour. And then I just don't care anymore. Like, yeah. I just don't understand it. It goes right over my head. So I totally understand that. And, yeah, I think you'd have to have a real serious fucking hardcore chip on your shoulder to call it a bad game.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because generally speaking, Naughty Dog don't make bad games.
But they do a lot of sequels.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Do you think this is going to be the start of a new franchise for them?
Oh, I really hope not, right? I mean, it's hard to know anymore, right? Because... on the one hand, I thought The Last of Us ended perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the ending. I thought it was fantastic.
Do you want to spend more time in that world?
Yeah, but I don't feel like I have the right to. I feel like the narrative that we were given wrapped up so well that going back only risks tarnishing it.
Okay.
And, like, this has kind of happened to me a few times in my life, and it's happened a few different ways with different games. Like, I mean, two examples I'll go to. Final Fantasy X. Final Fantasy X has, in my opinion, one of the best endings of any of the Final Fantasies. And, like, 9 is my favorite, but 10 has a better ending. Like, hands down. 10's ending is phenomenal. Because 10's ending... I'm going to spoil 10 here a little bit, by the way. 10's ending solidifies the idea that's kind of hinted at throughout the whole game, but never explicitly stated, that Yuna is the main character of Final Fantasy X, not Tidus or Tidus,
right. Whatever you call
them. Right? The ending kind of hammers that home. And it's a really, really fantastic ending. 10-2, the sequel...
The Return of Tidus.
Like, literally, from the fucking get-go, from the second you press start and the first little opening cinematic starts, completely tarnishes everything that came before it. The characters that are there from the previous game are redesigned and rethought, reimagined, and aren't even anything resembling the characters they have become at the end of 10. Right? They've just become different things altogether. Yuna's motivations are now solely to get Tidus back.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas the whole point about 10's ending being so good was that she accepted that she had to let him go.
Yeah.
And so it completely undoes everything all the good that was done before it. So that's a kind of sequel that retroactively damages its origins.
Right. And do you think this is going to happen with Tulu 2?
It might be the case. The other thing that's in my head, though, is Assassin's Creed 1 and 2. Because I didn't like Assassin's Creed 1 at all.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 was amazing.
You're wrong, but...
Yeah, I know, fine, whatever. but 2 was amazing. So, it's possible. It's possible that they'll make a fantastic sequel. I just don't know. I would prefer not to know.
There's lots of sequels that failed, though, on their original's promise.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, people would argue Arkham City and Arkham Asylum.
I liked Arkham City. I thought it was pretty good.
Which one did you prefer, though?
I kind of thought they were basically kind of just as good as each other in different ways.
All right, this is going nowhere.
When it comes to the sequel, I guess the inevitable thing is that, I would imagine at least, Ellie's going to find out.
What happened? She knows. She knows.
She's going to explicitly find out.
Well, that's because Joel's dead. He's a ghost in the trailer.
What the fuck?
Have you not seen it?
Yeah, I've seen the trailer. What the fuck?
He's definitely dead.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because he doesn't. He's got very, very clean clothes. There was a whole theory thing I watched on it. Like, yeah, Joel's dead. Eddie is seeing his ghost.
Clean clothes equals ghost.
Yeah.
I love it.
Where are you going to wash your clothes in post-apocalyptia surrounded by clickers? We're never going to agree. We might agree to disagree at some point. Maybe once tempers have cooled.
We can agree to disagree right now because a lot of what you're saying I agree with. We just disagree on what that means for the overall game as an experience. Yeah. That's the difference. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Okay, so yes, you can find us on Twitter at Wayne Podcast. We're also on iTunes. Please give us a rating and comments.
All that jazz.
All that stuff. SoundCloud and Podomatic.
Podomatic, yes, we're on Podomatic. The other ones are too complicated, so.
Yeah. you can also email us if you feel so inclined at waynepodcasts@gmail.com.
There's an S there, plural. Yeah.
What's your personal Twitter?
My Twitter is at Andy Kavanagh, AndyKavna.
Very good. And I am at Ben Dubs Mac. And you'll know it's me by the little cute dragon icon in the avatar.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed listening to us argue for the last...
more where that came from.
I'm sure it'll happen again at some point down the line. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to join us next week when we're going to be talking about...
Dark Souls.
Dark Souls.
Can't wait. Yeah, talk about what a wimp you are.
I'm a pussy. I'm a pussy. All right. That's the end of this week's podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks very much, guys.